Lesson today is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verses 1 through 2, 8 and 9, and 22 and 23. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading from the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 37. Let us listen for God's word in our lives. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter, and he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. And he took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed and he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And then Jesus ordered him to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He's done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Talking with strangers improves one's cognitive abilities. This is a quote from an interview I heard on the radio just the other day, an interview with Joe Cohane, who is the author of a recently released book entitled "The Power of Strangers, The Benefits of Connecting in a Suspicious World." I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to read this book. And if you want, you can borrow my copy one of these days. Now, in a much older, now classic book, with the title Innocents Abroad, Mark Twain said, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of humans and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime." Jesus was a traveler. Most of us don't think of Jesus as a traveler, but he was. He spent his entire life traveling around the Middle East. He was born on a road trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem and was forced to travel as a refugee child internationally to Egypt. Then it was back to Nazareth, which was only a stone's throw from the Roman city of Sepphoris. And Sepphoris was on a major east-west trade route and a crossroad of cultures. As a 12-year-old, there was that famous trip to Jerusalem when he was left behind. And then there was 18 years of mystery, during which some early Christian writings say that Jesus may have even traveled to the Far East. Now, even though our gospel accounts in our scriptures have him staying in the general Palestinian region, he was on the move continuously from town to town, from seashore to mountains, and all along the way he was talking to strangers. The stories of the Gospels tell us that strangers were the people who sought out and accepted him the most. It was his hometown and his own family who thought he was crazy. And the leaders of his own faith called him a blasphemer and a heretic. The strangers were the ones who embraced Jesus, and Jesus embraced them. But to really grasp the significance of Jesus' travel, it helps to look at the geography and the diversity of the region that we so blithely call the Holy Land. Because, you know, we have a tendency to overlook geography. We have a tendency to overlook geography in our scriptures, in the Bible stories, as well as in our modern day understanding of the world. A couple of modern day examples of the importance of geography are right here in our own Tampa Bay region. Tampa Bay has a long history of dodging and barely missing the full force of hurricanes. And I've heard from some people that this is due to an ancient native people's blessing on the area. I've also heard from some people that God protects our area. Now, these myths are well and good attempts to explain a reality that is pretty much defined by geography. We avoid most major hurricanes because of the shape of the land, the ocean currents, and wind patterns. Geography is important. History, as well as portions of our scriptures, tell us that the Middle East, because of its geography, has been a region of flux for centuries, where empires, religions, economy, and culture have mixed and mingled in sometimes volatile ways. And this was especially true during Jesus' lifetime under the imperial Roman rule. Palestine was a patchwork of Hellenistic, Jewish, and Gentile cultures and religions held together by the force of the empire. Now, a modern comparison to this would be a region that we are all too familiar with in recent days, Afghanistan. A recently retired military friend who served several tours as a special ops officer in Afghanistan and neighboring countries says, what most Westerners don't grasp is that there really is no Afghanistan, but rather a region of different tribes, cultures, and religions with common geography and economy that have been labeled Afghanistan by a parade of imperial powers through the eons. Of which the United States is the most recent in that parade. Another example would be our own country in its present condition. We seem to be anything but united, as various states, including our own, challenge federal laws and regulations regarding voting and health care and climate. And many of the challenges are based in religious and cultural differences. The United States of America are more divided than perhaps they have ever been before. And it may be a stretch, but one could say Jesus lived in similar times. And these two stories that we hear this morning take place on one of Jesus' road trips into areas of strangers. If you were listening closely to this reading from Mark, you would remember that the destinations on this trip were Tyre, Sidon, and the Decapolis. All of them predominantly non-Jewish Gentile towns and regions. Jesus intentionally goes into the land and the home of the stranger. And in Tyre, he meets a Syrophoenician or a Syrian woman who actually challenges Jesus' own cultural prejudices and beliefs. According to his religious tradition, as well as others in the area, he takes a risk even speaking with her as a woman. And then she literally shames him into accepting her as a fellow human instead of a dog. and his understanding of humanity is expanded. So much so that there is no hesitancy at all in going to another Gentile region and healing the next Gentile, albeit a man, of deafness and dumbness. Do you see what's happening here? Jesus is willing to intentionally engage strangers. And by doing so, a woman claims her human dignity. A young girl receives mental health care. A man is given a voice. And people begin wondering if there just may be something to this gospel stuff. My goodness. Jesus might as well have gone to Texas and driven a woman to a doctor's office and then come back through Georgia to take a load of black folks to a voting booth and finally to Florida to march with more than three people in a street demonstration. And all along the way, people's eyes and minds are opened and they start seeing our common humanity and getting vaccinated and wearing masks. You see, these stories aren't just about people in a different land and a different time. They are stories about us. When Jesus encounters the deaf and dumb man, he proclaims, Ephphatha, which is neither a Hebrew nor a Greek word. It's Aramaic. You see, Jesus himself was probably at least functionally multilingual. Ephphatha, be open. Be opened. Some have said that this one word, Ephphatha, two words in English, proclaimed the good news itself. Ephphatha. Be open. Be open to the transforming, conscious, expanding experience of reaching out to one another, especially strangers among us, even the strangers that we think we already know. Because reaching out to strangers and engaging people who are different from us expands who we are. And today, in just a moment, when we come to the table of Christ and proclaim it as open to everyone, we proclaim the essence of the gospel. Be opened. Amen. What do you call somebody who speaks several languages? Multilingual. What do you call somebody who speaks three languages? Trilingual. Two languages. Bilingual. One language. Norte Americano or gringo. You see, We Americans are known to be rather isolated in our culture and our language. We're glad to reach out to strangers as long as we're doing so in order to make them just like us. Unfortunately, this attitude has become so insular that we have lived into a quote from famous statesman, Winston Churchill among them, who used to say that the British and the Americans were two cultures divided by a common language. We have lived into that here in the United States. We are divided by a common language. Perhaps it's time for our ears to be cleaned out. Perhaps it's time for our voices to be claimed and heard and shared, so we begin to listen and share with one another. Ephatha, estará abierto. Be open. That's the gospel in its purest, simplest form. Amen.